Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, the old revival speaker Bob Jones once said, there will be a lot of religious people in hell, but not one Christian. Well, he introduces the thought of the topic of this text in Romans 10, 9 and 10, which is the topic of saving faith, what it means to believe, to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to begin with the question, what is a confession? What do we mean when we talk about we confess something? We confess the truth. The biblical word for confess is translated throughout the Bible in many different ways. It could be to agree with, to admit, a public declaration, to acknowledge, or to claim to know. Confession kind of holds all of those aspects. But a confession is not what a criminal does, although they do make confessions. It's not only the public act of stating our faith, that's what we're talking about, but to confess means this. It means I believe. It is something that we believe in the heart. We believe with what we are. The heart, the Bible says, is the whole person. We confess with our heart that truth which Scripture teaches, and we say, I believe it. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, what is confessed is the truth that Jesus is the one who came into the world, who died in the place of sinners, and who rose from the dead, and that is pivotal for the gospel, because that is the heart and the center of the content of the gospel. And so if you would ask another question, what is necessary to believe in order to be saved, you would be able to answer with the words of this text and what it says, Jesus was raised from the dead, he powerfully was resurrected and declared to be, as Romans 1 verse 4 says, the Son of God. So I want you to look with me at what confession is all about. The first thing that confession is all about is that it has content. When we confess something, it's something that we are saying, and the something is the content. In other words, we need to know the content of what we confess, or we need to know the creed. We need to know what Scripture teaches in order for us to be able to say, I believe. And when we speak of knowledge, we speak of knowledge about God as it's revealed in Scripture, because we can't say anything about God without knowing facts about God. And how are you going to know facts about God unless you know what the Scripture teaches? And so we need the creed, the teaching of Scripture, and that creed must be known, that creed must be understood, that creed then must be what Scripture teaches. And what Scripture teaches in this verse is simple. Jesus is Lord. The Word of God teaches that the Son of God came in human flesh to save sinners. He came to live in our midst. He came to be like you and me. And then he died. And when he died, he was exalted by God the Father because of his great work on Calvary's cross. And he became the Redeemer of sinners. And now he is called the Lord Jesus Christ. And that emphasizes for us the fact that he is God, he is Lord. And all of that is the content of what we must believe. We must believe in the resurrected Jesus Christ in order to believe what Scripture teaches, because that's what Scripture teaches. Jesus is my Lord. He died in my place on the cross for my sin to satisfy the wrath of God on account of my sin. And he took my place the scripture teaches, and that is what we must believe. We have to accept what scripture teaches about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in that person. We have to trust in that person and accept in our minds the facts about that person. Today, many people will deny that you need a creed, that you need any kind of teaching at all. In fact, there are a lot of churches today that pride themselves on not even having creeds. They have programs, they entertain people, but if you ask them what they believe, they'll attribute some things to God, they'll say nice things about God, but they won't say the things that the Bible says about God, how God reveals himself in Scripture. And I need to emphasize this over and over again, because we live in a day when too many churches have gone away from the Scripture. We must believe in the God of Scripture and what God says about himself. What we think about God should be irrelevant unless it's what Scripture teaches about God. Does that make sense? Whatever we think about God, some people think, oh, he's the one who makes all things wonderful for everybody. Well, what about the things that aren't wonderful? Those things happen too. They don't want to ascribe all things to God. They think that God cares for some people, but he doesn't care for others. There's all kinds of thoughts in this world about God. Those things make no sense. What does make sense, the only thing that makes sense, is what Scripture teaches. And we must follow the Scripture. We must not put words in Jesus' mouth. We must hear what comes from his mouth. And we must follow all that Scripture teaches. So all of the general ideas about God, we have to just simply get rid of. Whatever you believe about God, your own personal experience. Now, your experience as a believer is good, and you should have an understanding of who God is, but that understanding must rest upon Scripture. And the central truth that it must rest upon is what's in our text, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He who believes in Jesus will be saved. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. All of Scripture points us to the objective truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, a real person in history, of who he is and what he did. He is Lord. He was raised from the dead. He is the Lord. He is sovereign. He is the one whom Scripture reveals as the I am that I am, and he is Lord over all. Now, false teachers will say, well, he was a wonderful teacher. He had some miracles he might have been able to do. The 21st century we live in restates the Christian faith in words that anybody can follow. They try to make Jesus understandable today. But what we need to understand is what Scripture says through and through: Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says in Colossians that in him we have redemption. Who is he? In that passage, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is about a person, the living Son of God. And that's the truth. That's objective. That must be believed. And today, people will say, all that matters is if you believe. And when they say, if you believe, you can believe whatever you want, but you've got to have some kind of belief. And you probably have run into people like that, where they say, well, you have your religion and I have mine. Well, my religion is the religion that's founded on Scripture. And that is what this text tells me. To Paul, who writes this word, it matters not only that we believe, but it matters what we believe. And that's the first part of this text. We need to know what we believe, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we do, it leads us to commitment. It leads us to that place of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, depending upon him for all of the promises that he's given us in his word. It reveals itself, and we can see the desires, the uprightness of mind, the tenderness of heart, and the respect for things holy and sacred, and the pleasure to pray, says one author. But he says all of these things that are revealed in Scripture as they come from and speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess him. Confession leads to believing. And that means we assent, we agree, we consent to that which is in Scripture. We have confidence in the person that's revealed in Scripture, not just an intellectual confidence, but a confidence that rests in the fact that God has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot trust in God if you hold him to be non-existent or untrustworthy. Some people will say, well, I trust in God, but, you know, not for everything. They'll trust in God for eternal life. Everybody likes that part. Nobody wants to go the other way. I trust in God to make things good for me. But one author says you can't trust in God if you hold him in your mind to be non-existent or untrustworthy. In other words, your own understanding of God. In other words, would you trust a felon bank robber? And would you trust him to be a good bank teller? I could just see him taking an application at the bank. I would like to be a bank teller. Well, tell us your experience. Well, I just got out of jail for robbing a bank. I don't think he'd be hired. Not possible. You see, the one fact denies the other. And it's the same with God. We can't just ignore God as the sovereign over all things, the Lord of all, and trust him for something over here. No, we must confess that which Scripture teaches. And confession then brings about a full commitment of our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his church. Confession's important. The Holy Spirit opens our mind, our heart, our understanding to know the truth of Scripture. It says in Scripture that the Father has revealed these things to you when Jesus spoke to his disciples. Faith is something that comes by the gift of God. It's not just us getting ourselves ready to join the church for a faithful few weeks and then falling away. It's not going to church like it's a spiritual filling station so that we get a blessing. We hope that will last us to the end of the week and come back again the next Sunday for more. No, the church is the body of Christ, which is made up of its members who submit to the rule of God and his authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the confession that we have in Scripture. The one who is the sovereign Lord is the one that we are committed to. Faith in Jesus then is paramount. Faith holds the Christian life together. Faith is not just part of being a Christian, as the Roman Catholic Church had taught. No, faith is the full commitment of our heart. It embraces all of our life in whatever we do, and it makes us committed to Jesus Christ the Lord. And when we have that kind of a commitment, we will be consistent with it by continuing to trust in Jesus and in the truth that's revealed in Scripture, particularly in this passage that Jesus Christ is Lord. Faith will produce in us a confession of Christ. And we find that in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism when it talks about this in terms of believing in Jesus Christ. It asks in question and answer 22, what must a Christian believe? And the answer is simple. Everything God promises in the gospel. You have to believe the whole word of God. The gospel is summarized for us in the articles of our Christian faith, a creed beyond doubt and confessed throughout the world. That's the Apostles' Creed. But that's a summary statement of everything God promises us in the gospel. And a person who confesses Jesus Christ will confess the truth that's consistent with that faith. Peter said it when he was preaching, he says in Acts chapter 4, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. He speaks of what he has observed. He speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about the truth of what God did in sending Jesus into this world. That was the heart of his gospel message. In Jeremiah, it speaks of the word of God. It says, this word was in my heart. It was a burning fire in my bones, and I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stay. He speaks of how the word of God, remember the catechism says, everything God promises us in the gospel, that includes all of the scripture. Jeremiah says, the word of God was like a fire burning in my heart. And so our confession is to be something that we do all the time. It's to encompass all of our lives. It's to be centered upon the word of God. And it's to reveal that true faith that rests in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our confession does. Our confession confirms faith. Faith reveals itself in confession. And our confession reveals what's in our heart, the heart of our existence. And that public confession is preceded by a daily confession and followed by confession throughout all of life. Confess with heart and mouth, word and deed, in life and walk that's inseparable from the faith of the heart. It's the fruit of the tree, the scent of the flower, it's the light of the sun, it's the sweetness of the honey. It's impossible that anyone that's implanted into Jesus Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of gratitude and thankfulness to God. And that's what confession is. Living consistent with faith and trusting in God. So we come back to the question that begins this series of thoughts on the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe? What is your creed? What do you believe in your heart? And the question, will you be in heaven or in hell? The difference is made by saving faith. That's what Paul is writing about in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Saving faith. And saving faith is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The scripture says, believe and be saved. May that be the blessing of God for each and every one of us. Amen.